Parshas Mishpatim. Tonight is Chof Hei Shvat, and Chof Hei Shvat is the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta passed away in Tof Reish Mem Gimel, which is 1883, which is 140 years ago tonight. Even though we don't normally in our Shir commemorate Yahrzeit, as it were, but there is a specific connection over here very much to the parasha, our parasha, Parashas Mishpatim. The Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta were keen to point out that it is surely no coincidence that the Yahrzeit of their illustrious Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Zecher Tzadik Livracha, always falls out in Parashas Mishpatim. And they said how appropriate that is, because the main lifetime work, as it were, of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta was to put Musa and Midas and the union of Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi back onto the map, and Parashas Mishpatim deals predominantly with Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. So how appropriate it is that of all the weeks of the year, Parashas Mishpatim is when his Yahrzeit falls out. Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi is the essence of Parashas Mishpatim, and Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi is very much the essence of Rabbi Yisrael's lifetime legacy. So I saw in the Sefer Pachad Yitzchok, Rabbi Yitzchok Hutner, Zichrono Lebracha, has a series of Sforim, as we know, Pachad Yitzchok, and one of them, Shavuos, in Maimer Mem Aleph, he talks about the following. We know that in many places in the Torah, including in our parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, the Torah talks about the Luchos and spells Luchos Lamed Chefs Sof. You would expect it to be spelled Lamed Vov Ches Vov Sof, but it's not spelled like that. If you look in our parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Yud Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'etno Lecho Es Luchos Ho'Even, and Luchos is spelled Lamed Ches Sof. So too in Parashas Kisisa, Parashas Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, He gave him Bahar Sinai Shnei Luchos Ho'Edos, and Luchos once again dispelled Lamed Ches Sof. So Rashi over there points out that Luchos, when written Lamed Ches Sof, sounds as if it's really just one. But we know there were Shnayim, Shtei Luchos Habris. So why indeed is Luchos written in the singular? So Rashi says the following four or five cryptic words. Rashi says, Luchas, Ksiv. The word that appears in the Torah is Luchas. There are no vowels. And there's no vav there, so that's the way it appears. It looks like it's luchas. So Rashi says, Shahoyu shtehem shavois. Because the two luchos are absolutely equal as if they are one. So clearly Rashi is pointing out this very question. If there are indeed two luchos, so why is it not written in the Torah in the plural? Luchos with a vav. And Rashi is answering that question, but we need to understand the answer. Rashi says the answer is because although they are two, but shteim shavos, they're absolutely equal one to the other. And that's why they're written in the singular. So what does Rashi mean? What does Rashi mean? What is the Torah pointing out by writing luchos as luchas in the singular? Why indeed is luchos, even though there were two, written as if they were one? What does Rashi mean when he says shteim shavos? So in order to understand this, Rav Hutner explains, based on some psukim at the end of our parasha. As we know, Matan Torah, which predominantly is the theme in Parashas Yisroi, but it reappears again at the end of our parasha, Parashas Mishpatim. And there are very important details that are mentioned in our parasha, which are actually not discussed in Parashas Yisroi. So the Torah writes as follows. When it came to Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael actually sacrificed korbanos, oilos, and shlomim. They slaughtered the korbanos, and now the question is, what do you do with the dam? Normally, as we know, when you shech the korban in the Beis Hamikdash, the dam is sprinkled on the mizbeach. So the Torah writes as follows: Vayikach Moshe chatzi hadam. Moshe Rabbeinu took half of the dam, and he put it, ba'agonois, he put it in a certain type of kli. V'chatzi hadam, zorak al ha-mizbeach. Indeed, there was a mizbeach there, but only half of the dam went on the mizbeach. So what did he do with the other half? Vayikach Moshe es Hadam, Vayizraik, where did he sprinkle the remaining half? Al Ha'om, on the nation. So half of the blood of these karbonos was sprinkled on the Mizbeach that was built, and the other half was on Klal Yisrael. Vayoyma and Moshe Rabbeinu proclaimed, Hine Dam Habris. This is the blood of the covenant, Asher Koras Hashem Imochem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forged with you, Klal Yisrael. Now, if it says in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu took half of the dam, that means clearly the dam was split into two. And if it says chetzi, that means exactly half. And Rashi says, what does it mean chetzi adam? Mi chilkoi? Who split the dam into two? Malach bo v'chilkoi. It was actually an angel who came and split the dam into two. And Rashi says, exactly repeating what we just said, it was put into kelim, half of the dam, which is an oilah. An oilah, we know, goes on the Mizbeach. That part of the dam, as it were, was dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the other half of the dam was for the Shlomim, and that was sprinkled over the nation. Now, clearly, everything that happened at Matan Torah is of great symbolic significance and is there to teach us a lesson. What's being taught? What's going on over here? There were two karbonos, the dam was split into two. In fact, Rashi was keen to point out that it was a malach who split the dam into two. Why is that important to know, bichlal, who split the dam into two? What is the meaning that half the dam went on the Mizbeach, half the dam went on Klal Yisrael? What's the union of this bris? Many, many details that don't seem to be clear, not self-understood. So here comes the big yesod of Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner says, as we well know, the Torah, and specifically the Luchos, was split into two. The first five of the Aseres HaDibrois are Bein Odom Lemokoim, the second five, Bein Odom Lechaveiroi. That was the inyan of splitting the dam into two. Half of it goes on the Mizbeach, that goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and of course that's Keneged, Bein Odom Lemokoim. The other half is the Shlomim, that's sprinkled upon Klal Yisrael, that is of course Bein Odom Lechaveiroi. Says Rav Huttner, do you know what it means? Dam habris, a covenant. A covenant is always when two things are forged together. If two parties come together to form an agreement, that is a krisas bris. Dam habris, and this is the yesod, was the covenant, was the forging together of the mitzvahs of Bein Odom Lamokoim and Bein Odom Lechaveiroi, to put Bein Odom Lechaveiroi on an equal standing to Bein Odom Lemokim. That was the bris over here. Lest anybody think that Bein Odom Lechaveiroi is any less important than Bein Odom Lemokim, it absolutely isn't. Chatzi, chatzi. Half on the Mizbeach, Bein Odom Lemokim. Half Al Ha'om, that's Bein Odom Lechaveiroi. And that's what Rashi means. That even though there are two luchos, but why is it written in the Torah as one? So Rashi said those cryptic words, because they are shteihem shavos, they are equal. What does that mean, they are equal? Are they two or are they one? And the answer is both. They are two luchos which come together as one, because you cannot have one without the other. Matan Torah had to include half the dam on the Mizbeach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bein Odom Lemokim, and the equivalent and no less significant half the dam on the nation Klal Yisrael, Bein Odom Lechaveiroi. And now we understand. Magnificent pshat in Rashi. Rashi asked, who split the dam? And he answered, it was a malach. What was bothering Rashi? What was troubling Rashi? Why is it important to know who split the dam? And the answer is because if the Torah writes Chatzi Hadam, it means exactly 50%. Exactly half-half. Who can do such a thing? Who can take dam and split it up exactly 50-50? Says Rashi, indeed, this was done on a day of Malach, because indeed it had to be 50-50. Why did it have to be 50-50? Because Bein Odom Lechaveiroi is on an equal standing with Bein Odom Lemokim. And had it not quite been 50-50, it would have been 60-40, then that would have given the erroneous impression the Bein Adam L'Chaveroi is less significant than Bein Adam L'Mokrif. This is the way Rav Hutna explains in the most beautiful fashion the whole maimed of Matan Torah, but specifically with regard to the sprinkling of the dam, half on the Mizbeach, half on Klal Yisrael, none of which, by the way, is mentioned in Parshas Yisroi. This is the unique chiddush of Parshas Mishpatim. Says Rav Hutna there in conclusion, that's what it means when you look back at the lifetime of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and we say that he was the one who put Bein Adam L'Chaveroi back onto the map, as it were. Says Rav Hutna, don't misunderstand this. His lifetime's avoda was not to create a resurgence, as it were, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, and to point that out at the expense of anything else. No! Rabbi Yisrael's lifetime avoda was to put Bein Adam L'Chaveroi on an equal standing with Bein Adam L'Mokrim. That's Rabbi Yisrael's legacy. And the way Rav Hutna writes it so in such a spectacular manner, he says, do you know what the godless of Rabbi Yisrael's lifetime avoda is? Was that his lifetime produced the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim wrote two major works. What were the two major works? The Sefer Chofetz Chaim and the Sefer Mishneh Brura. Sefer Chofetz Chaim is, of course, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. Mishneh Brura is Bein Adam L'Mokrim. The godless of Rabbi Yisrael was that it could produce the Chofetz Chaim, who equally, from one pen, wrote the Mishneh Brura and the Chofetz Chaim. No more or less important, but absolutely on an equal standing. Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, Bein Adam L'Mokrim. How could it be that the Heilige Chofetz Chaim was such an expert, as it were, in the halachas of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, and therefore compiled the Chofetz Chaim, and equally spent over 30 years of his life writing the Mishneh Brura, which is predominantly Bein Adam L'Mokrim? The answer is, that is precisely the legacy of Rabbi Yisrael. The legacy of Rabbi Yisrael is indeed the Chatzi Chatzi. Chatzi Adam al HaMizbeach, Chatzi Adam al HaOm. Bein Adam L'Mokrim, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. Just to illustrate the point, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was a terrific mahader in Afias Matzis. He was a mahader probably in every area of Torah, but it is well known that when he used to bake his matzahs, he was very particular there should be many hidurim. On one occasion, he was unable himself to attend the matzah baking. So he asked his talmidim, would they go as his representatives? So they asked him, Yelamdeinu Raveinu, can the Rebbe please teach us? We know how makbid you are. When you bake your matzahs, it should be on the highest niche full of hidurim. Could you please tell us, what are the hidurim that you are makbid on? So Rabbi Yisrael said, yes, I will tell you. I happen to know that in the matzah bakery that you are attending, there is a woman there whose job is to knead the dough, but she happens to be an almona. Make sure that you don't rush her, you don't mistreat her, because it says in the Torah, "Kol almona v'yosaim loisa anun." That's my hiddur in Hilchas Matzah. My hiddur in Hilchas Matzah is, make sure you treat the almona correctly. What Rabbi Yisrael really meant, the oimik of Rabbi Yisrael meant was, if you're mahada, by looking after this almona, then indeed it's a matzah muhuderes, because the luches are one. It's not that you also have to make sure you treat the almona properly. Rather, by treating the almona properly, that is my matzah muhuderes. And if you don't treat her the way you should, then there's a chisoron in the matzah. Because Bein Adam L'Chaveroi and Bein Adam L'Mokoim is luchos luchas. It's all one. You cannot have one without the other. It is reported that one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael was zoicha to be with him on Erev Yom Kippur. And he was curious, how does the Heiliger Rebbe prepare himself for Yom Kippur? Probably worth seeing. What does Rabbi Yisrael do in those final hours before Yom Kippur? And he noticed that Rabbi Yisrael, who thought that he wasn't being noticed, actually went to the kitchen and took out a large hammer from the kitchen, a hammer that may well have been used in preparation for food or meat, and he left the house. And the Talmud followed him, and he saw that Rabbi Yisrael went to his shul, and he made it his business to check every bench and every chair during the course of the year. People sit on the bench and the chairs fall sometimes, so some of the screws could come loose, which means that the chairs are now wobbly. And if they're wobbly, they're not so comfortable. So Bein Olam L'Chaveiro. That was Rabbi Yisrael's preparation. So with this hammer, he made it his Erev Yom Kippur Avodas HaKodesh to knock back all the screws that have come loose. And if that wasn't enough, he then went up to the Ezras Noshim and did the same. And the Talmud followed him. He saw Rabbi Yisrael then went to 9 other shuls in this town to do the same. That was his hachona for the Yom HaGodol HaKodesh Yom HaKippurim. A certain Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, I've got a great ambition. I want to finish Shas. A very noble ambition indeed. He said, what are you going to do? Yeah, I'm going to start right from the beginning. So Rabbi Yisrael said, but if you start from the beginning, you're beginning with brachos. Brachos is drabonon. The whole concept of brachos is drabonon. You're going to follow it up with Shabbos. A huge part of Shabbos deals with mukta and refuah and amir lakum. It's all drabonon. And then you're going to move on to Erevin. Most of Erevin is drabonon. Perhaps you'd be better looking at the Masechta that deal with Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi, maybe begin with Bava Kama, and Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. This was the great legacy of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. In Parashas Kisiso, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, coming down from Har Sinai, sees Klal Yisrael serving the eagle, and as we know, he threw the luchos and smashed them to smithereens. The Lashon of the Pasuk is, Vayichar Af Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu became very angry, Vayashlech miyodov es haluchos, and he threw from his hands the luchos, vayeshaber oisom, and he broke them, tachas hohor. How is the word miyodov spelt? Miyodov, translated, means from his hands. The luchos were heavy, and he was holding them with 2 hands. The correct spelling, we would have thought, would be memyud dalud yud vov. The extra yud there, to denote the plural, the 2 hands. But that's not what it says in the Torah. Do you know what it says in the Torah? Miyodov, without a yud. If you would read the Sefer Torah, that reads, Miyodoi, from his hand, singular. But it wasn't being held in his hand, it was being held in his hands. And the answer is, once again, Rav Hudna points this out in another place, because the 2 luchos were held in 2 hands. 1 hand, the right hand, Bein Odom L'Mokim. The left hand side, Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. Moshe Rabbeinu, at first glance, thought to himself, if Klal Yisrael are serving Avodah Zorah, which side of the Luchos is that a blemish in? Surely that's only a blemish in the Bein Odom L'Mokim. Avodah Zorah, as serious as it is, and it's very serious, one of the Gimel Averis Chamurais, there's nothing to do with Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that maybe I should only really be throwing 1 side of the luchos. Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi, there's no pagam. Maybe they're indeed still worthy of being mekabel the Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi aspect. Until he came to the maskona, as it were, that no, it's got to be both. Because if you don't have one, then you don't have the other. And that's why the Torah writes, although it was miyodov, it was from 2 hands, meaning he smashed both sides, but there was an initial thought, maybe only miyodoi, perhaps only from 1 hand. The maskona was not that. The maskona was, as we said before, luchos is 1. You cannot have half without the other half. And of course we'll recall, if we go back to Parshas Chayei Sarah, when Eliezer gives Rivka the various jewelry, one of the things he gave her were, Ushnei tzmidim al yodeho. Smidim is a bracelet, but Rashi says it's a remez. It's a remez to the 2 luchos, which are smudois, stuck to each other. So it sounds like it's a play on words. Smidim, smudois, what on earth has that got to do with the luchos? I think lo'oir hadvarim, we have a biura niflo. Because Rivka Imenu, although she proved to be a mitztayenes, indeed she excelled, but what did she excel in? Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. That's what she did for Eliezer, for the camels, for the camel drivers, Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. So Eliezer has to show her the message. As excellent as you have proven to be, Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi, but you have to understand the message of our nation. It's got to be Tzmidim. You have to have both hearts. You cannot have Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi without Bein Odom L'Mokim. Just like the Geir, who came to Shammai and said, could you teach me all of Torah al regal achas? Shammai threw him out. Why did Shammai throw him out? Because really what the Geir said it was trying to illustrate to Shammai was, I don't want to have both legs, Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi, and also Bein Odom L'Mokim. I only want to have al regal achas. Shammai says there's no such thing. There's no such thing. You cannot have bein odom lemokoim without bein odom lechaveroi. You cannot have bein odom lechaveroi without bein odom lemokoim. So why did Hillel accept him? What did Hillel tell him? Hillel said, I will tell you one klal. Whatever is not acceptable, non-pleasable to you, don't do to your friend either. Okay, but that's only bein odom lechaveroi. Didn't we just say that you cannot have one without the other? That's what Eliezer told Rivka. You've excelled in bein odom lechaveroi, but don't forget, it's got to be tzmudim, tzmudois. You've got to have both halves. So here we go back to Parshas Vayishlach, and I saw many years ago in a wonderful sefer that we've quoted many times, the Be'er Yosef. The Malach is having this struggle with Yaakov Avinu. Eventually, he knocks out his Gid HaNoshe, and the Torah says, for that reason, we do not eat Gid HaNoshe Ad HaYom HaZeh. Which Gid HaNoshe? A person has two. So if you look in Chulin, the Gemara Chulin Daf Tzadi, it's a Mishnah actually, there is a Machlokes. There is an opinion that says, only the right-hand side. That's the one that he knocked out. That's the one that you don't eat. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Rabbanon, I agree, but I disagree. You're right, he knocked out one, but both were displaced, and therefore both of the Gidei Anoshe are also to eat, both the right and the left, and that's, by the way, what we paskin lahalocha. So the Be'er Yosef Alatera explains what was going on over here. What was going on over here, that the two sides of the Gid HaNoshe once again represent the Bein Odom Lamokoim and the Bein Odom Lechaveiro. The Malach was trying to overcome Yaakov in every aspect. He wanted to bring about the downfall of Klal Yisrael, Bein Odom Lechaveiro, Bein Odom Lamokoim. Eventually he was unable. And what did he tell Yaakov? You can be called Yisrael because Sarisa Imho Anoshim the Imho Elohim Anoshim Bein Odom Lechaveroi Elohim Bein Odom Lamokim. Says the Chachomim, even though he tried therefore all he could to try somehow to injure him and knock out one of his Gidei Anoshe, but if you knock out one, then automatically you've knocked out two. And that's why they said, even though the Metzius was, he only displaced one Gid HaNoshe, by definition that means both are blemished. You cannot have one without the other. And that's what Hillel was saying. If you don't have Bein Odom Lechaveiroi, then you cannot have Bein Odom Lamokim either. The basis of Bein Odom Lamokim is Bein Odom Lechaveiroi. Why is that? When the Chofetz Chaim was Nifta, his Talmud, Rabbi Chalon Wasserman Hashem Yimkoim Domei, was maspid. And Rabbi Chalon said that my Greiser Rebbe was a godel. He was described as a godel be Yisrael, maybe the godel adoyer. What does it mean, a godel? He said, imagine if you saw a giant 50 feet tall. Then by definition, not only has he got very long legs and a very long back and a very large head, every part of his goof would have to be proportionately larger than your average person. And then you would describe him as a very large person, as a giant. But imagine if that person who was 50 feet tall, however, had normal sized hands, just like every other human being. You'd no longer describe him as a giant, you'd say he's a baal mum, he's blemished. Because by definition, to be a giant, you have to be a giant in all areas. And he said, that was my Rebbe. The Chofetz Chaim was a godel because he was a godel in all areas. Had he not been so, then he would have been a baal mum. How well that fits in with what Rav Huttner taught us. But the Chofetz Chaim wrote both Sefer Chofetz Chaim and Ilchas Lashon Hara, and also the Mishnah Brura. So indeed, he was a giant in Bein Odom Lechaveroi, and also in Bein Odom Lemokim. One has to have a shlim. But the Oymek Hadvorim is the basis. The basis of being an Eved Hashem, Bein Odom Lemokim, is first to realize that you cannot be an Eved to yourself. The way to be an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to first and foremost recognize that there is an existence outside of yourself. And that begins with Bein Odom Lechaveroi. Somebody who is unable to involve himself in Chesed and Hakoras HaTov, etc., etc., meaning that there's only an Anoichi over him. There is no one else besides for the self. well then by definition he's not going to be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the basis, the Hakdama, and this is what Hillel was teaching the Ger Tzedek, you cannot have all of the Torah Regal Achas. Shammai is 100% correct, you have to have both. But if you begin with Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and you're able to get out of the Onoichi, and realize that his existence is beyond the self, then you're well on the way to being an Eved Hashem. Derech Eretz, indeed, Kodmo L'Teiro. Kodmo L'Teiro. The Hakdama to Matan Teiro was what? Vayichan Neged Ahor, the famous Rashi, maybe the most famous in all of the Torah. Ki'ish Echod, Belev Echod. Why was that important? Why was that a necessary requirement before Matan Teira? Because if there's no Achdus between Klal Yisrael, and each person is only looking inwards and not outwards, then you can never be an Eved Hashem. Because there's nobody outside of myself. But if there's a Vayichan in the singular, Ki'ish Echod Belev Echod, and there's an Achdus, and there's the recognition that yes, there is an existence outside of myself, that's Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi, well then you're halfway there to being a Bein Odom L'Mokim. On the way to Shavuos, as a preparation for Matan Torah, we now understand that when Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died, Shaloi Noagu Kovei Zer Bazer, it wasn't just an unfortunate lack of Midos, but rather it means you cannot have a Kabbalah Satira. How can you have a Kabbalah Satira to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if it's Loi Noagu Kovei Zer Bazer? You haven't yet built a relationship between yourselves. Loi Noagu Kovei Zer Bazer, Kovei is from the word Kovei, weight. Do you give anybody else any type of weight? Or as far as you're concerned, they don't exist. If they don't exist, that means you're only ever looking inwards. Well, then you can never be an Eved Hashem. So the Hakdama to Matan Torah has to be Achdus and Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. And as mentioned, on Purim, which is, by the way, the upcoming Yom Tov, of course, whilst on the one hand, Purim is a Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satira, Kimu V'Kiblu, but it's also the Yom Tov of Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. Leich Knois Eskola Yehudim. Bring together Klal Yisrael. There has to be the mitzvahs of Mishloach Monos and Matonos Le'evyoinim. Because without it, there cannot be a Kabbalah Satir. There cannot be a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let's just conclude by therefore pointing out, when we indeed hear about a Godel be Yisrael, as Rabbi Chanan taught us, a true Godel, by definition, must be a Godel in all areas. And therefore it must come as no surprise to us. If ever we hear or read about Gedolei Yisrael, yes, there will be the inevitable chapters, as it were, about this Godel's Hasmoda B'Torah and his Avos HaTorah. But no less surprising and no less important will be the chapters in the book that tell us about his excellence in Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi as well. That's no coincidence. That doesn't mean that he's excelling in both areas. Rather, that means he's a Godel B'Yisrael. Tzmudim. Luchos. This was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's legacy. If you want to have a Matzah Muhuderes, make sure you treat the Almona properly. You cannot have one without the other. If you have somebody who's an outstanding Talmud Chacham, is very knowledgeable in Torah, but has not excelled in Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi, then indeed he's a Baal Mum, he's not a Godel B'Yisrael. We could really spend hours and hours together recounting stories about Gedolei Yisrael, not about their godless in Torah, but about in their midos. But we have to understand that ho boho talia. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I recently met, some of you may have heard, Professor Avrom Steinberg. Professor Avrom Steinberg, besides being a Talmud Chacham, is one of the leading doctors in this country. He had a tremendous kesher with many Gedolei Yisrael, and Lahavdil, with many politicians, Adayim Hazer, is involved very heavily in the Medical Ethics Committee and the law makers of this country. I met him recently on a Shabbos. I was away in Netanya and he was there, and I asked him, Dr. Steinberg, Professor Steinberg, I want to ask you a very naughty question. You've been Zoicha to have a kesher with many, many Gedolei Yisrael. Many Gedolei Yisrael relied on him, referred to him, consulted with him for his medical knowledge and opinion. I said, I want to ask you something. Don't tell me any names, obviously. In all of your encounters with Gedolei Yisrael, did you ever come across a Gedolei Yisrael who didn't also excel in Midas? And his answer to me emphatically was, No, I never. But he said, I want to just nonetheless mention one in particular. He had a particularly close kasher with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. On one occasion, he said, I was a very young physician. I had an emergency pikuach nefesh shaila. And I called up Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and I said, I need to come and speak to you. This is pikuach nefesh. Rav Shlomo Zalman, he said, had very strict hours. And normally the times that he could meet me was sometime in the afternoon. But this was very urgent. And I said, I cannot wait till lunchtime. I need to come in the morning. So he said, come to me at 10 o'clock. He said, I didn't want to keep Rav Shlomo Zalman waiting. Rav Shlomo Zalman was very punctual. So indeed, I made sure that I drove to his house in good time to make sure that I wouldn't be late. In fact, I came early. I come up to Rav Shlomo Zalman's apartment and I see that Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Gadol HaDor, is standing outside his front door waiting for me. I felt so uncomfortable. Here's the Gadol HaDor, he's twice my age. He's the leading halachic authority of the generation. Here I am, just a young doctor, and he's there waiting for me. I should be the one waiting for him. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said to him, oh, I'm so glad you came. He said, as you know, my hearing isn't great. So when people knock on my door, I don't always hear them. So Baruch Hashem, my wife is at home, so she always answers the door. But my wife is not at home at the moment. And I didn't, chas v'shalom, want you to be knocking on the door, and I wouldn't hear, so you might have to wait a minute. So for that reason, I decided to be outside the front door, waiting for you. That was the story that Professor Steinberg told me just 3 or 4 months ago. That's a Gadol b'Yisrael. The Gadol HaDor has to wait for a young doctor. And what would have been had he been waiting for Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach? I think it would have been a great kavod to wait for Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. No, chas v'shalom, I'll hear nothing of it. I don't want you, chas v'shalom, to knock on the door and I won't hear you, so I'll wait outside him. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was very makbid, even when he had to go to Simchas or out of town for whatever reason it was, but always come back to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. He never slept outside of his own bed, never slept outside of Yerushalayim, except on one occasion. He had a nephew who was an orphan, a Yosin, and he got married in Tel Aviv. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach went to the Chasana and uncharacteristically stayed there overnight. And nobody understood why. Very not like Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was normally very makbid. He only wants to sleep in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Nobody knew why. Until decades later, this very nephew of his, who became himself an accomplished Talmud Chacham, called up his great uncle Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and said, I've been asked to be Masada Kiddushin. I've been asked to be Masada Kiddushin at a Chasana, and the Chasan happens to be a Yosin. Is there anything I need to know? Could you give me guidance? He doesn't have a father, maybe this Shaila is a Maksuba, etc., etc. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he gave him halachic guidance, then he said, one more thing. Don't forget to do to him what I did to you all those decades ago. He says, remind me, what was it? He says, you'll remember that I stayed overnight with you on that night you got married and I was with you till the morning. He says, yes, I do remember. Shlomo Zalman explained. It was the minhag in those times that people used to bring wedding gifts to the chasana. And it was always a great celebration following the wedding, either that night or the next morning. The chasana and kala would open up all the presents in the presence of their parents, and there'll be a tremendous simcha. Oh, I got some kelim, and I got this, and I got some money, and I got this, I got that. But I knew you were a yosin, and you didn't have your father to share that simcha with. So that's why I stayed in Tel Aviv overnight. You might remember that you opened the presents together with me. The Gadol HaDor, that's what he did. He opened presents, wedding presents, with his nephew so that he shouldn't miss out on the tremendous excitement of opening his wedding gifts. So he said his nephew, don't forget, do the same as well for yours, for the chasan that you're marrying off. Rabbi Avadya Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, had to have an emergency operation to save his life. But he requested when the operation was scheduled, he said, no, push it off. I cannot have it now. You'll have to push off the surgery by an hour or two. Why? This is Pekuach Nefesh. He said, I'm just in the middle of writing a tshuva. There is a certain woman whose husband has disappeared and she is in the tragic circumstance of being an Isha Aguna. I'm busy writing a tshuva, by the end of which I hope to be mati her to get married. I claim that I'll pay all the halachic evidence the husband is indeed no longer with us. He says, if I undergo this surgery, I'm not sure whether I'll survive the surgery. And if I don't survive the surgery, I won't be able to complete the tshuva, and chas v'shalom, this woman will remain in aguna for her whole life. Rabbi Yisai has mentioned, we could say it for hours, till tomorrow and till next week, telling stories. But all of these stories have one common denominator, luchos, without a vav. A Gadol B'Yisrael, as Rabbi Chanan taught us, has to be Gadol in all areas, because otherwise he's a Baal Mum. The Yisoid Advarim, we explained, however, is that the Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi is in fact the basis for Bein Adam L'Mokir. Mi Yodoi, in fact, Mi Yodov. Half of the dam had to go on the Mizbeach, half of the dam had to go on Klal Yisrael, but you needed a Malach to split the dam, because it had to be exactly 50-50. And that was Rabbi Yisrael's legacy. The fact that he could produce a Talmud like the Chofetz Chaim, who excelled in Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi when he wrote the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, but equally in Bein Adam L'Mokim when he wrote the Mishnah Brura, that was Rabbi Yisrael's matzah. His hidur in matzahs was treat the almana with respect. And that is the legacy. Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi, Bein Adam L'Mokim, exactly half-half. So indeed, as we commemorate, as it were, the 140th Yahrzeit of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, we indeed agree with his Talmidim, who point out that how appropriate it was that he passed away during this week. Because Parashas Mishpatim, Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi, and how does the Parasha end? With Matan Torah. Zechusai Yogein Olenu.